We are going to start on Yud Ches Amud Beis, right about middle of the page. Yeah. So it's going to be 18b, 2 or 3, something like this. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshaya.
Okay, sorry.
Now, just to backtrack and to refresh our memories, now we're going to get back into Bikurim mode. Okay, so let's a little review for a minute or two, and then we'll put where we're going to be heading up here. Okay, this is a little review. Bikurim are eaten by the Kohen.
Yep.
The owners are required to bring their first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. Upon arrival, they're supposed to express their Hakaras HaTov, their gratitude, by reciting the psukim found in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. Mm-hmm. This is called Kriya, the reading. The owner is also required to place the basket next to the Mizbeach. This is called Hanocha. So two steps. Putting it down. And Hanukkah, like Hanukkah's tefillin, and Kriya and reading, two steps. Although both Kriya and Hanukkah are required, it's a machlokas if they are both ma'akev. Ma'akev means if it holds back, and therefore you can't eat the bikurim if they're not done. In other words, you gotta do both. But what happens if you don't, and the coin eats it? Now, if one was omitted, it is possible the coin will not get lashed for eating the bikurim. In other words, what if there's nothing? In other words, that was our Mishnah. If the coin, so that's the question is, how important are these two steps to the point that if you're missing them, you'll get lashed?
Missing one of them.
Right? Or maybe one of them is enough. Maybe none of them are necessary. Whatever. The question is, how vital? We know, it is a mitzvah to do it. But will the coin get lashed if you're missing one or both of the steps? That's an issue that is debated. And this is the statement we just are going to read in 1 second in the Gemara. Okay, and that's what's going to be. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshaya, Bikurim, Hanocha, Ma'akefes Behem. The putting down is what holds you back. Kriya, Ein Ma'akefes Behem. But the reading does not. Okay? So, but if you leave out the reading, then you don't get lashed. Now that was, if you recall, back on our Mishnah. I'm going to review now stuff we've been speaking out. Our Mishnah says that if you eat it without the reading, you get lashed. That was our Mishnah. If you read it without reading, you get lashed. That was our Mishnah. The Gemara said this Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva. Then the Gemara says, what about Rib Shimon? So yeah, it also goes according to Rib Shimon. Yeah. So our Mishnah, that's Rabbi Akiva and Rib Shimon, both say that if you...
don't put it down.
One sec. If you put it down, but you don't read it, you will get lashed. Okay? The Chachamim there... argue on them and say the reading is not that vital, you won't get lashed, but the placing down, if you don't place it down and the coin eats it, then you get lashed.
Right.
That's the machlokas, the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shimon. Comes along, now we're going to study now, Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Yeshaya says you have to do the Bahanocha, you have to put it down, but if you leave out the reading, the coin won't get lashed for eating the Bikurim. So that seems to be like the opinion of the Chacham. Okay, so the critical point is putting down, but not the reading. I don't know why, now I got to flip many pages.
How do you leave it there without putting it down? Is it, you put it down in the wrong place?
You just don't put it down.
You found the basket.
One second, let me just get it the right place. Okay, now we're just reviewing again what we just said. Oh, no, so that's, I'm just trying to get the right spot over here because they did it kind of funny. Okay, so now we're going to go into the Gemara. Okay, so now we said Rabbi Elazar says the placing is what's critical. This is the step. Let me just get this a little bit more aligned. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Rabbi Hoshaya says, Bikurim, the mitzvah Bikurim, Hanocha Ma'akeves Behem. The placing is what's essential, and if the placing is not there, you get lashed. Kriya Ein Ma'akeves Behem. the reading does not hold you back, and you will not get lashed if the reading is missing. And that's the opinion of the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that's his opinion. Rabbi Elazar says the name of Rabbi Hoshaya. Okay, just to see what our scroll asks, as explained earlier, this means the mitzvah of bringing Gurim is not fulfilled unless the owner places them down before the altar, but it is fulfilled, albeit imperfectly, if he omits the recitation. By extension, Bikurim are forbidden even to Kohanim on pain of Malkus only until the owner places them down by the altar. So according to Allah's name, Rabbi Shaya, once you put it down, the coin is not going to get lashed. According to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, you have to have the reading as well. Fine. Mornau is going to say, how could Rabbi Lezer say that in the name of Rabbi Yeshaya? He seems to be contradicting himself from somewhere else. Umi Amar Rabbi Lezer Hachi. How could Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshaya say that only the placing is important and not the reading? We're going to contradict it from another statement he made himself. Amar Rabbi Lezer Amar Rabbi Yeshaya. Now, Hifrish Bikurim Kodem Lachak. Now, there's a mitzvah to bring the Bikurim anytime from Shavuos until Sukkot. That's the time. Afterwards, it's not. It should not be done. The reason is, in the Torah, when it says you bring the Bikurim, it has to be done at the time of your joy. So when are you happy? You're happy between Shavuos and Sukkot, because that's when the harvest is coming in, and you're happy about it. After Sukkot and the rainy season's coming and you're back to work, you're not as happy. Okay, so now let's say you separate it. There's a number of steps. You have to first separate the Bikurim and designate this is the Bikurim. So that you did when you're out in the fields. So sometime in May, June, whatever, tie it up. So you have to designate this is the Bikurim. Yeah. So now, Hifrish Bikurim Kodem Lachag. He separated the Kurim before the holiday of Sukkot. Now what he's supposed to do is get himself over there sometime between then and Sukkot and do the mitzvah properly, putting it down, reading the psukim, the kohen eats. But what if he was lazy or forgot? And Sukkot passed and he did not yet bring it. What happens? Yerkavun. You have to let them rot. There's nothing you can do for this. Why? Because they can no longer be brought to the temple. Why? This way you have some background. The Mishnah in Bikurim. Mishnah in Bikurim provides two periods for bringing Bikurim to the temple. From Shavuos until Sukkot, one brings them and recites the verses. That's the regular mitzvah. From Sukkot until Hanukkah, one may still bring them, but he does not recite the verses. You bring them, you don't read them. The recital is not done after Sukkot, that's what I already told you, because the Torah follows the command to recite the verses with the statement, and you shall rejoice in all the good that Hashem your God gave you. This teaches that the recital of verses must take place during the time of joy between Shavuos and Sukkot, when people rejoice in gathering the harvest. Well, the other states, and then Rishaya, that any Bikurim separated before Sukkot. Now, see, once you serve it before Sukkot, let's make this clear. Let's look at this. What if you brought your stuff after Sukkot, meaning you separated it after Sukkot? I have to make it clear. Yeah. Let's say you didn't do anything. Yeah. You didn't do anything. And then after Sukkot, you went and separated your Bikurim. You could bring them
up to Hanukkah.
Until Hanukkah, but you can't read the psukkah because the recitation is because you're happy, yeah. And you're not happy then. Okay, that's, everybody agrees to that. If you separate it before Sukkot, bring it, read it. Separate it after Sukkot, bring it, don't read it. Now, Rabbi Lozer says now that any Bikurim separated before Sukkot, once it's before Sukkot, what does it require?
Recitation.
Yes. Remember, if you're bringing it, separating it after Sukkot, it doesn't require recitation, right? So if I've already separated it before Sukkot, and I didn't bring it until Sukkot, now what's the problem? The problem is that stuff from the moment I separated it before Sukkot, for me, the coin to eat it requires the verses being stated.
But you can't see the prayer.
As opposed to if he separated after Sukkos, it never required verses to be stated. Mm-hmm. That's the critical knach. So now if the guy separated before Sukkos, this now must be read for you to see, say the psukim to be able to eat it. But Sukkos has passed. And now you can't read because it's after Sukkos.
Right.
But this stuff needed to be read. So therefore, since you can't read it,
just put it down.
So you can't bring it. Because remember, because what do you need? You need to read it. And only if you read it, then can the coin eat it.
So forget about it. Put it aside.
Well, yeah, but what do you do with it? It rots. That's the point. But, okay, he can no longer be brought at all. The permit to bring Bikurim after Sukkot applies only to those that were not severed until after the festival and were thus never subject to the recital requirement. You hear what's going on over here? So when he's separated before Sukkot, it needs to be read.
Yes.
Now, so go read it, bring it before Sukkot.
Right.
But if you don't, and you bring it after Sukkot, you can't read it now because it's not a happy time.
So
that now you got this Bikurim that can't get fixed, as it were. Mm-hmm. So that I can't read it. Now, this statement only makes sense if the reading is mandatory before the coin can eat it.
Right?
Right? What did we just say before this statement? Rav Lozen Rashi said the placing down is the requirement, but not the reading. This statement of Rav Lozen Rashi contradicts himself. Because if you go with his original statement that the reading isn't that important, so then why can't you bring it even after Sukkot? You don't have to read it anyway.
Right?
So that's the contradiction that they find in his statement. Now I'm going to explain it. Why do you have to let it rot? My love, isn't it because? Mishum delo matzi lemikra aleihem. It's because you can't read it. Can't read it anymore. But you just said beforehand, v'isal kadai, but if you hold kriya ein ma'kavisven, but the reading isn't essential, that's what he said, it's not essential, it's not essential. Amai yir kovu, why do they have to rot?
Yeah.
Don't read the psukim and bring it without reading the psukim. So that's a contradiction in the words of Rabbi Lazar and Rashaya. If he essentially says the reading is not critical, so why can't you bring the Bikurim after Sukkot without reading them? But if he's saying they got a rot, that means it's a problem. So the answer is a very interesting answer, and this is one of these divine wisdom answers. Okay? And this is a very famous rule that's brought in Shas that we're gonna struggle a little with. So you got to answer. He's going to say, yeah, he can say both statements. He could say you don't have to read it, but yet if you're bringing them after you separated it before, so the Gemara says you got to let it rot because you can't read it. How do you keep the two halachas together? Kiddur Reb Zera, like Reb Zera says, a golden rule. The golden rule applies to mincha offerings, but we're going to see how it can apply here as well. The Amar Reb Zera, Reb Zera says, now but remember, a mincha offering consists of flour and oil. The Torah always says, you take the flour and the oil, and you mix them together. That's part of making the mincha. When I'm giving a gift, I bring them, and then the coin mixes them together. So mixing in Aramaic is called bila. Bila means mixing. That's the word. So the question now becomes, is it possible that for some reason, if you didn't mix it, would the mincha offering be still kosher or not? Let's say you have the flour and the oil, you put it together, but you didn't mix it. Mm-hmm. It's there, but you didn't mix it. Is the mincha acceptable or not? So here's the golden rule Reb Zera says. He says, "Kol haroy labila, any mincha offering that's fit for the blending." In other words, there's nothing wrong with the flour, nothing wrong with the oil. You put them both in the bowl. They could have been blended, but for whatever reason, wasn't. But as long as it's theoretically possible, and that could have all happened, here's the key. Ein bila ma'keves b'hem. The blending is not critical, and the offering is valid without blending it. That's his rule. As long as in theory I could have done it, so okay, the mitzvah is to blend it, but if you didn't, and as long as it could have been blended, it's acceptable as an offering. But if it's not fit for blending, let's say one of them is tamei or something, bila ma'akevas, then the mixing is critical and it's not an accepted offering because you couldn't mix it anyway.
Yeah.
Now let's explain all this. Okay, the Mishnah teaches that a mincha containing, here's up to 60 isaron of flour. Isaron's a measurement. Okay, there's different sizes of how much flour you want to give. May be brought in one temple offering vessel. You would put the flour in a vessel. Now the biggest vessel size was 60 isars. That's the biggest one. That's how much you can hold. What if you give a mincha offering bigger than 60 isarim? Well, then you have to divide up into two vessels. Because if you can't mix it well, you got that, it's like tons. It's tons of flour. You can't mix it well. Up to 60, you could somehow blend it together. But once you know, you can give more. Right? So I want to give 90. All right, well, you got to put 60 in one vessel and 30 in another vessel. Because the rabbis determines that only an amount of up to 60 isarim can be mixed in one temple vessel. Okay, that's one Mishnah. There seems to be another Mishnah that says a mincha is valid even if it's left unblended.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Rabbi Zera explains that although the actual blending is not critical to the validity of the offering, fitness for blending is critical. Although the Torah repeatedly describes the mincha as mixed, it never explicitly states a command to mix the ingredients. When you look in the Torah, it doesn't say, and you must mix it up. It just says you bring an offering that's blended.
Right.
You hear the difference? Bring a mincha that's blended as opposed to, and you blend the mincha. You hear the difference?
No one has to do the blending.
I understand. But it's not a positive mitzvah to mix it. It's just you do it, but it doesn't hold you back. The Torah doesn't say, thou shalt blend flour and oil. It says you bring an offering that's blended. It's saying it's blended, but there's not a positive commandment saying you have to blend it. I mean, you do, but it's implying that if you don't, it's still okay. It should be blended, but it doesn't say thou shalt, like other mitzvahs. Like it says, you must sprinkle blood.
Yeah.
There are four critical steps of korbanos, for example. You must receive the blood. There's different steps. By the flour offering, it says you have to burn it on the mizbeach. Now that's important. Okay, so it says you bring to the mizbeach a mincha offering that's blended. But it doesn't say you shall blend it.
Who blends?
It's not blended.
I understand, but it does. Since it doesn't say you have to blend it, so it means it's a mitzvah to do it. But if you didn't, it's still okay.
Why would you blend it if you don't have to?
Why? Because you want to eat it afterwards.
Use that word. Just bring the oil.
Okay, I'm just telling you that's the way the rabbis, Reb Zera explains.
No, that's
what he's saying. Although the Torah repeatedly describes the mincha as mixed, it never explicitly states a command to mix the ingredients. And we therefore have no basis for assuming that blending is essential.
It's going to be blended.
Well, it doesn't specify what blended is. You just pour it.
The Torah could have said, you must blend it. That's very clear what the Torah is saying.
Why would they say blended if it's not necessary?
There's some things that's a mitzvah, but if you don't do it, it's still okay. There's a lot of things in the Torah that we've discussed this many times. Gemara says, yeah, the Torah says it's a mitzvah, but is it critical? There's things that you should do, but if you don't do it, it's still okay. You didn't do it in the nicest way, and then if you didn't do it, it's totally not good at all. That we have that in many mitzvahs of the Torah.
Yeah.
Where the Torah says, this is the nicest way to do the mitzvah. If you don't, it's still okay. But if certain things are so critical, if you don't do it, it's bechlal not kosher.
Like the bikurim.
Just like with the bikurim. Same idea. You want to do the bikurim the nicest way, you bring it at the right time, and you read everything. What if you bring it after it's over? It's still okay. Right. But there are certain steps that are without doubt, it has to happen. You've got to slaughter an animal.
Right.
You've got to sprinkle the blood, right? Shouldn't leave it over. And what if you did leave it over? Korban's still okay. Isn't it? If you leave it over the next day, still okay. Still okay. Didn't passel the korban. I'm just saying, there's certain things that it's a mitzvah to do it, but if you don't, so you didn't get the mitzvah, but the korban's still okay. So there's aspects, there's things that you should do, and then there's things that you must do. There's a difference between should and must. You want to do this in the nicest way, these are all the steps. But sometimes if you're missing this, then it's b'chlal not good. You know, I'll give you another example. You put out a talus in the morning. You have to make a bracha?
Yes.
What if you don't?
You can do it later.
What if you didn't? Did you get credit for doing the mitzvah or not? Yes.
No.
Not until you make the bracha.
You're not listening to my question. Let's say the middle of the day. Middle of the day.
Yes.
9 in the morning. You put a talus on and you don't make a bracha. I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Did you? And you wore it. Did you fulfill the mitzvah or not? Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
But not well.
Yes. The mitzvah is to put on the talus. Now, you want to do it nicer, you make it with a bracha. Did you do it? Now, if you make the bracha, that's the way you do the mitzvah. But if you don't make the bracha, still you did the mitzvah, but not in the nicest way. Now, if you make a bracha on your talus and don't put it on, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Do you hear the difference? So there's things you should do, and there's things you must do. The Torah does not say you must blend it. It says bring one that is blended. Now, what if it's not? Well, if the Torah would have said you have to blend it, then that means it's critical. In fact, he just says blend it. That's the nicest way to do the mitzvah. Well,
does the Torah specify what blended is? Because you can just pour it on top of it.
I think so. Mixing.
Anyway, I don't want to get overly involved in menachos, but that's the rule, he says. Nevertheless, again, so it never explicitly says a command to mix it, and we therefore have no basis for assuming the blending is essential. Nevertheless, since the Torah does mention that it's blended, Reb Zera deduces that the mincha must at least be fit for blending. Because the Torah obviously speaks of a mincha that can be blended. Do you understand? So it's at least fit to be blended. Therefore, let's say you put 70 isarna flour and oil together but didn't blend it. It's not good because it could never be blended.
Right?
That's the point Reb Zera is saying. If I have 60 isarna in a bowl and oil and I didn't blend it, I should have blended it, but as long as I could have blended it,
you can blend.
It's okay after the fact. Now, obviously, we point out, hey, you know, you forgot to blend it. Okay, I'll blend it up. But what if he just didn't blend it? For whatever reason, blend it. As long as it could have been blended, it's okay. But if you got 70 sarin with the flour, you can't say, well, if I wanted to blend it. No, if you wanted to blend it, you couldn't even blend it. In that bowl, you couldn't do that.
It wouldn't fit.
That's the rule Reb Zera teaches us. Right? Since the Torah says you bring the mincha that is blended is brought, obviously the Torah wants you to blend it. But it's not saying thou shall blend it. And because it doesn't say, if it would have said thou shall blend it, that means if you don't blend it, it's not good. You're saying if you bring the one that's blended, that means it should be blended. What if I didn't? Well, I guess it's okay. But the fact that it says it's blended has to be at least worthy to have been blended. But if it even couldn't have been blended, then you can't plug in this rule. That's an accepted rule by Menachos.
How come it doesn't say anything about the quantity of oil? It only says about the flour.
It does. It talks about the oil too. I'm not getting into the details of the mincha. It does. There's a ratio. But that's not germane. But what do you see? The bottom line, if in certain cases, if it's fit to be done, even though it's not done,
it's okay.
So now let's plug this rule in to Bikurim. Okay. If you bring Bikurim, now, accordingly, Rabbi Loza's first statement in Rabbi Shoah, that the recitation of verses is not essential.
Right.
Why not? Refers to a case in which the Bikurim are brought before the festival of Sukkot, but the owner neglects to recite the verses.
Okay.
Now, is it possible to recite the verses before Sukkot?
Yes.
Since it is possible, the Bikurim are valid even though the owner fails to do it. Right? If he brings it beforehand, in the second statement, Rebbe speaks of him that we're separate, again, one second. only got, since their sale is possible, can have valid even if the owner fails to do it. But he, but it's before Sukkos.
Okay.
It's before Sukkos. He brings it before Sukkos. He's supposed to read it. Could he read it before Sukkos?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Let's say the coin ate it without being read.
That's okay.
Could it be read?
It could be read.
It could be read.
Yeah,
coin
right.
ate it. So since whatever is fit to be done, even though it's not done, it's like
it's
it was
okay.
done.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you don't read it, it's still okay. Just like if you didn't mix the oil, it's still okay because it fit.
Yeah.
In the second statement, however, he's speaking about that were separate before Sukkos, that's following the obligation to have verses recited of them, but were not brought to the Bethel after Sukkos when recitation is no longer possible.
Right.
Is it fit to be blended? No. Since recitation is impossible, we can't say, well, even if I don't do it, it's okay. No, but now you can't even do it. The Bikurim are disqualified and may be left to rot. The recital is not critical because the command to perform it is not repeated. However, since the Torah does mention it, we deduce that recital must at least be possible. The same idea. So that's what he's saying. When you bring, so he says, if you bring it normally before Sukkos and you didn't read it, it's okay because whatever was fit to be done, even though you didn't do it, in other words, it's a nicer way to do the mitzvah. Torah didn't repeat it a second time, say, oh, and its mom is so important. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, the Torah says, you go there and you read it. You read it, okay, but what if I don't? Well, we'll see later on. Well, I guess, you know, it's a mitzvah, but if you don't, it's not the end of the world. And it, since it was worthy to be read, you could do it. But if you brought it before Sukkos, but you didn't read it, and now it's after Sukkos, now it can't be read.
Right.
So we can't say, well, if I don't read it, it's still okay. That's not, because it was not fit to be read. Now, if you brought it and separated all after so, because it never needed to be read, then you could have it. So that's how we resolve that contradiction. So he still remains that it's not critical, and that's the answer to that contradiction. Good. Now, this was a statement of Rabbi Lozer in the name of Rabbi Oshaya, saying what his opinion is that the placement is critical, but not the reading. Comes along another rabbi, and says, similarly, in the name of another rabbi, right? So we attributed the statement to Rabbi Lezner and Rishaya, but another Amora attributed it to somebody else. Okay, so Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Masna Law, he made the very same ruling. Kidder Rabbi Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And then another rabbi said a similar law in the name of another rabbi. This guy learned in this yeshiva, this guy learned in this yeshiva. So we have another rabbi that subscribes to the same position. And who is this? Rabbi Asi saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the very same statement. Now the Gemara is giving you an overview statement that you're not going to understand right now. In other words, we had the first statement of laws in the name of Rabbi Shaya. He said, he says the reading isn't important. Then he asked a question from a Mishnah and he resolved it. Now, we're going to have Rav Asi and then Rabbi Yochanan do the same thing. We're going to ask, say, yes, Rabbi Yochanan says the reading isn't essential. The Gemara is going to bring a statement of Rabbi Yochanan that seems to contradict what he says, and then the Gemara is going to answer it. Now, the Gemara is just telling you that in advance, and then it's going to say what it's going to do. In other words, just like Rabbi Lozer and then Rabbi Shaya quoted Rabbi Shaya and said the reading is not essential, and then we ask the question, it seems he's contradicting himself, and then we answered it. Similarly, Rav Asi said then Rabbi Yochanan the same thing, that the reading is not essential, and now we're going to bring a contradiction in, and then it's going to answer his own. And that's what this little line is saying. V'kashalei to Rabbi Yochanan. And then he made a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's own words. Similar problem, but from a different place. So we have Rabbi Asi and then Rabbi Yochanan saying that Rabbi Yochanan says reading is not essential. Okay, if reading's not essential, then how do you understand Rabbi Yochanan's following statement? How can you going to say Rabbi Yochanan says that the placing is essential and the reading is not essential? Now, again, Rav Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, reading is not essential. Then on another occasion, Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Rabbi, Bikurim me'amis every time. When is the coin allowed to eat Bikurim and not get lashed? From Relay, and he answered, Haru'uyin l'kriya, if they're worthy to be read, Mishar Karlan, when you read them.
Well,
you gotta read them. V'she'en haru'uyin l'kriya, if they're not fit for reading, right, we'll see what that means, then Misharo p'nei abayis, when they are entered the temple courtyard. When they're brought in, I guess you're bringing them after Sukkos when you can't read them, right? That's what he says. And if you separate it after Sukkos, you can't read it. So when is it worthy then? When you bring it to the temple, not even, you don't even have to put it down. So what does he say? When it's the normal way, you got to read it. If it's after Sukkos, you don't have to do anything. As long as it's in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't even have to put it down. You don't need any steps. What's the problem? He's contradicting himself both ways. Kasha, there's a contradiction. Kriya akriya, reading on reading. Because Rabbi Yo said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the reading is essential. But when he asked them personally, he said the reading's not essential.
Yeah.
Reverse. He said in his name, reading is not essential. But when he asked them, he said the reading is essential. Yeah. That's one contradiction. And Kasha Hanocha Hanocha. And it's a contradiction in the idea of not requiring placement. Because when he told Rabbi Lozer said in the name of Rabbi Asi, said Rabbi Yochanan, the reading isn't essential, but the placement is. But then he says, if you bring it after, you don't even have to place it.
Whoa.
So it's a contradiction. In other words, Rabbi Lozer said in the Rabbi Asi, said to Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan told me. Placing is essential, reading is not. But when he personally asked him, he said, reading is essential. When you have to read, you have to read it. If you don't have to read it, you don't even have to put it down. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Didn't he say that putting down is essential? So it's a self-contradiction in these statements. And I'm sorry, it's 8 o'clock. We've got to leave it there. So I'll have to quickly review this point. And then hopefully we'll...
talking about different things. So when is it Rabbi Lekwainim?
This is what it says. The Gemara previously said it was Rabbi Lozer who said that Kriya is Ma'akev. Now the Gemara is saying it was really Rabbi Yochanan. Which Gemara now says it presents a contradiction between the two statements. So we'll review this last part on Monday, God willing. 31, 32 minutes.